RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So now to the opening of the Cannabis Museum in Auckland and its legal prescribing pharmacy. I'm sure I've heard of the Cannabis Museum before. We'll find out, because joining us is Abe Gray, an American-born New Zealand cannabis activist, politician, and founder of the Whakamana Cannabis Museum, New Zealand's first and only cannabis museum. Abe, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for taking an interest in what we're doing.
Yeah, when I say activist, politician, and founder of the museum, interest in cannabis, how does that come about, Abe?
Well, I guess a lot of people are interested in cannabis. They just didn't necessarily used to admit it. My interest in cannabis came from being a teenager, basically, you know, wanting to get stoned, you know, to be honest.
Yeah, like most of us.
But it was actually learning about the injustice of prohibition and sort of the lies that had been told about cannabis and how powerful it was as a plant and its sort of historical place in human civilization that I guess radicalized me into a life of citizenship.
I'm thinking of Reefer Madness.
Exactly. So, I mean, that sort of prohibitionist atmosphere, that's what I grew up in. You know, I thought cannabis was bad. I was ashamed to be using it. But I actually learned that it was kind of a deliberate misinformation, you know, promulgated by authorities back 100 years ago to try to panic the public and, you know, turn them all racist against each other as a tool of control. And once I learned that and that, you know, it was all sort of a facade, I felt like I had a mission to kind of expose that and teach people. And in fact, getting interested in that and understanding politics and being a citizen and being driven to go to university and study botany and understand the world around me, I thought, wow, if cannabis can do that for me, you know, just a teenager wanting to get stoned, very self-centered, maybe this lens could be used to inspire and empower others.
Interesting that you mentioned racism before, because I know, and you probably know this already, in this country, I think cannabis was it was used, you know, medicinally, and I guess people knew about its psychoactive influences when people took it. But it was around World War II when the American troops were here and the U.S. African-American jazz musicians were coming here, and they brought with them their cannabis. And that then became an issue for the local population. So it's just that when you said racism, I guess there was an element of racism in there. They didn't want the cool jazz guys smoking their dope, you know, sort of having any influence, I guess, on the women of New Zealand. There was a perception that there was a danger there.
That same trope was used globally. And, you know, the idea of jazz musicians and the race mixing in America in those days, it was very taboo. And that was used as a sort of a sign of how cannabis degenerated society. But of course, we all know that that's a load of crap. But yeah, unfortunately, those structures existed, you know, right up until recently. And so when the museum was first formed just over 10 years ago, we were still in the thick of, you know, a wave of prohibitionist propaganda here in New Zealand. The idea of medical cannabis was laughed at, you know, legalization was not really on the agenda. Subsequently, we did, you know, have a good debate about that as a country. But yeah, for the last decade, we've really been trying to normalize cannabis use and show the New Zealand public that it's nothing to be afraid of. And this whole stigmatized, pathologized narrative is actually made up and should be disregarded. And cannabis is actually, you know, a valuable commodity, and it's a funny social lubricant and a powerful medicine. And thankfully, globally, sort of things have moved on. And in New Zealand, the law is starting to change. I mean, I think a lot of people think cannabis was not legalized, because we had the referendum and the no vote, you know, won by 0.5%. But in fact, cannabis was legalized through the Medicinal Cannabis Amendment Act.
Yeah.
And what the referendum was asking was, do you want cannabis to be controlled? And so, you know, Bob McCoskrie kind of, he had it around the wrong way because he was using those scare campaigns about cannabis dairies, et cetera.
Yeah.
He was saying, if you vote yes, this is what will happen. Well, in fact, if you voted yes, that could never happen because the law was 164 pages long. And it was the most restrictive bureaucracy you could ever imagine. They voted that down. That doesn't exist now. And the law that we do have, which is this medical law, which is very, very permissive. I like to call it California 1997 with pharmacies. That now is the only control. There's no other controls. So we can, you know, have a celebratory cannabis venue right outside, you know, the busiest train station just being constructed with neon cannabis signs. We couldn't have had any of that if the referendum had been successful. So it's kind of, I mean, I get why people who aren't, you know, cannabis legal policy nerds like me might not understand that, but that's where we are.
I remember visiting Amsterdam first time in the late 80s. And knowing that there were the, you know, the cafes and the stores, and understanding over time that, well, the Netherlands never fell to pieces, did it, with that sort of availability. And that, and we're going back 40 years almost now. That didn't seem to really come into the debate here, just saying from memory. So didn't the museum start in Dunedin? You're talking about 10 years ago. What's happened to that museum? Is this set up in Auckland now, is that replacing it?
Yes, yes, it is. So the museum started in Dunedin 11 years ago. It grew out of a sort of campus-based activist group that had been holding cannabis protests, famous for marching on the police station and hotboxing it, like smoking inside and filling it with smoke. And that evolved into the museum eventually. And then we kind of took it on the road. As the museum grew, it went from a flat to a commercial building. It added accommodation, a cafe, a members-only club, consumption lounge. Then it moved to Christchurch, and we did a $1 million Pledge Me campaign to try to build the Te Papa of cannabis. And that failed, unfortunately. We did get $215,000 pledged, but because we didn't meet our minimum, we didn't go ahead with the project. And it was in December 2019. So you can imagine if we had been holding the bag on $1 million tourist facility in early 2020.
That would have been an epic fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, we've been in storage since then. We were planning a pop-up in Wellington for the referendum. But of course, you know, commerce was totally truncated by the time we were getting around to that. And then, we've been looking for a home for the last couple of years, and it's taken quite a lot of negotiation. And we finally found it because we didn't want to settle for some sort of, you know, ramshackle hole in the wall. And we've managed to secure one of Auckland's highest profile heritage buildings, which really looks like a museum. And it's, you know, it's a fitting temple of cannabis and sanctuary for cannabis users.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. Okay, so what sort of response do you think you'll get?
Well, so we finally can actually legally sell cannabis. That's something we could never do in the museum in its previous forms. Because
so there's a business model for you there.
Yeah. We would have quickly come to grief when it was illegal, but now it is legal. So we have a doctor who can prescribe that can be in person or via video call. And then we can legally dispense the cannabis here on site. So we've been kind of beta testing that for the last 4 weeks. And it's been very, very popular. We've dispensed hundreds of ounces to hundreds of patients. Just in under a month.
And what sort of range of patients, Abe? I'm just curious. What, all types, all sorts, older people? Who are they?
Every demographic you can imagine. Cannabis use is hidden, and the stereotypes we think of are just the tip of the iceberg and really a pathologized version of that. You know, everybody uses cannabis for a variety of reasons. And we, with our clinic, we help the users sort of interrogate their use and understand the therapeutic dimension of it so they can explain what they're getting out of it back to an appropriate health professional. And then that then qualifies them for legal access under the law we have. And so that's proven very popular. I mean, we've had people from across the country doing telemedicine, you know, people from South Auckland, North Auckland, you know, Epsom, Otara, like you name it. So that's popular. We know that's popular. And our exhibits are finally sort of set up to a level where we can educate people about all the frequently asked questions of cannabis. So we're actually cutting the ribbon on the facility today. And the we're in Auckland Central. The Auckland Central Member of Parliament is going to come and cut the ribbon. And, you know, we hope to maybe in the future even have a brass plate unveiled, you know, Cannabis Museum opened on this day. So that's today.
By Chloe. Yeah,
Chloe is the Auckland Central MP. So we're, you know, we think it's pretty special that the actual Member of Parliament for the constituency that we're opening this flagship facility and would actually cut the ribbon. That kind of shows how far we've come. And obviously, you know, the Greens have supported cannabis. And I haven't been in the Greens because they haven't supported cannabis enough. But that's a completely different story. But
another interview.
It does just show, you know, I think even if it was a different member of parliament, I think we could have got them because it shows the stage that we're at for the cannabis industry now.
Yeah, the perception of the downside that was there before, it's changed.
Exactly. To be honest, like, you know, our margins are very thin to try to provide the convenience and service and experience that, you know, cannabis users expect and deserve. The person who's made the most money out of what we're doing and will continue to make the most money out of what we're doing is GST. So we are making a lot of GST. And so I don't think the government is really going to complain about that at this stage. So, yeah, the doors will be open regularly. I think we're settling around the hours, but it's probably going to be every day except Sunday because that's when the pharmacy is open as well and we can dispense. And we invite every member of the public and, of course, visitors to New Zealand as well to come and learn, you know, anything they ever wanted to know about cannabis and then, you know, partake in whatever aspects of the legal cannabis ecosystem they would like to.
Next time I'm in Auckland, Abe, I'll pop by. I've got personal knowledge of this. I recovered from cancer 10 years ago. I was on awful painkillers. And I can tell you what, cannabis, it just changed my world at the time. I dispensed with every other painkiller, went with that. Not only the painkiller, the attitude that came with it. I just can't sing the praises enough. That's from personal experience.
Well, that, you know, and it's those kind of powerful stories that drive us. And, you know, every day that we dispense, it's, you know, it's across the spectrum. And there's so many cases like yours that you just mentioned, but even, you know, the young mums from South Auckland who are just using it to sleep at night and they can finally live without fear and not be taken advantage of through the black market. It's, you know, it's not your average commerce. It is a social enterprise.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. All right, Abe, fascinating chatting with you, and good luck with the ribbon-cutting ceremony and the future success. What a fantastic idea. You won't hear me saying anything bad about cannabis. I'm happy to say that. And if I'm in Auckland, I'll pop by and say hi for sure.
Oh, we'd love to host you, Paul, and yeah, we'd love to meet any of your listeners at the event today.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.